Would open your Bibles this morning, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. After Jesus predicted his death, his burial, and his resurrection for the third time to his disciples, they find themselves near Jericho. Jericho is a household name for most Bible students. When we think about Jericho, we probably think about the walls of Jericho falling down in the book of Joshua. However, Jericho is a place that is mentioned multiple times in regards to the work that Jesus did during his ministry while he was upon this earth. Jericho was an interesting location that Jesus had some very significant encounters in regards to this place. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River near Jericho in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. He was tempted on the nearby mountain range in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. Zacchaeus' conversion is associated with Jericho. And the parable of the Good Samaritan, maybe one of the more familiar New Testament Jericho references, is where this Good Samaritan on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho has its setting. The account we'll look at this morning, as we think about Jesus and look at some of the things that Jesus did in his life and his ministry while he was upon this earth, is this encounter that Jesus had with this blind man named Bartimaeus. And we'll primarily reference both Mark and Luke's rendering of this miracle, even though Matthew likewise has some things to say about this miracle, but we're primarily going to look at Matthew and Luke's rendering of this miracle. But before we get into the heart of the story, I want us to briefly just note some differences that occur in these three gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and just maybe say some things about that before we get into the heart of what I really want to talk about this morning. Luke speaks of Jesus coming near Jericho, while Matthew and Mark say that it's while he was leaving Jericho in Matthew 20 and Mark chapter 10. If you'll note in the bulletin this morning, I put some things in there for you to read at your convenience in your own time. There's a brief bio there on Jericho that tells us a little bit about Jericho. And throughout the years, Jericho has been in three separate locations, although among those three separate locations, they're all kind of in the same vicinity there. So depending on the perspective of the writer here, whether they're thinking Old Testament Jericho, New Testament Jericho, and even modern day Jericho, which the writers would have been thinking of that in this particular instance, the perspective here is that Jesus was in the vicinity of Jericho as this miracle is taking place. Also, Matthew says there were two blind men. Mark and Luke both say there was one, and likewise, neither Matthew nor Luke name the blind man Bartimaeus here. And again, I don't find that to be a difficulty or contradiction, but rather a blessing. And that's one of the blessings about the gospel, is you have different perspectives of the gospel. Mark gives us the name of the blind man mentioned in Luke's gospel, and Matthew informs us that he wasn't alone, and then we get the name, as we see in Mark's gospel. And that's one of the beautiful things about the four gospels. We're provided with more information and details about certain situations that happened in the Bible during Jesus' time, and it's interesting. It gives us a bigger picture. Moving into our study this morning, we want to look at this blind man who was named Bartimaeus, and I want us to note something that he saw in Jesus. Even though he was blind, he had the ability to see Jesus, and he saw something in Jesus that many during his day was not able to see. And what he was able to see in Jesus and how he identifies Jesus changed his life. This encounter involves a large multitude of people. I want to begin in Mark chapter 10 again. Mark chapter 10, and I noted this week several times as I was putting this together, I kept putting Mark chapter 9. And I went back and tried to correct all that. So if you see Mark 9, 40-something or 50-something up here, it should be Mark 10. I think I corrected them all, but just in case. And let's go ahead and begin by reading Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 46. And let's just read this encounter as we begin our study this morning. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46, says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. This encounter again involves a large multitude of people who are following Jesus. And we know from past studies that wasn't uncommon. Jesus drew crowds. There were a lot of different reasons for the crowds that Jesus would draw from time to time. The motivation for wanting to follow Jesus was different. That's the case here as he is traveling through the vicinity of Jericho. He has some followers. He has some individuals who are following along behind, and a multitude indicates that this was a large crowd. And among this multitude of people were the disciples of Jesus, the 12 in particular. And these 12 apostles have just heard for the third time that their master is going to experience this heavy persecution. He's going to be abused, and he is going to lead, that's going to lead to his death. He's going to be put to death, but that he would return to life. He would return to life. However, Luke tells us that they didn't really understand these things. That wasn't uncommon for the disciples of Jesus. As he would travel along and he would have these conversations with his disciples, they were just really perplexed sometimes and confused about what was going to happen to their king and this teacher, this master teacher that they were following. And that's important in regards to what we're going to see here in just a few minutes, that this blind man was able to see in how he identifies Jesus. As Jesus and this large crowd are traveling through here, Scripture tells us that there was a blind man named Bartimaeus, and he sat by the road begging. So we have this blind man, and he is sitting by the road begging, and that's not an uncommon scene that we see throughout Scripture. We see beggars on multiple occasions, and these individuals had certain locations where they regarded those places as places of opportunities. We still see things like that today. We call them panhandlers, I think is the term we call sometimes today. We have individuals who will sit by the exits on the interstate in Lexington and here in Richmond and different places. And they regard those places as opportune places to maybe receive some monetary blessing or some food or whatever the case may be. And whether legitimate or not, they are there because they feel like that's a good spot. Heavy traffic is coming through there. Well, we see that in the Bible as well. You remember the lame man in Acts chapter 3 and verse 2. He kind of made his camp outside the temple, and he would stay there, and he would ask for alms as people were coming in and out of the temple. Also, the rich man in Lazarus, the beggar Lazarus there in Luke chapter 16, verse 20, he found his camp there at the rich man's residence, and he was hoping to get some type of blessing from him in regards to food, just a everyday need of life. So we see that in several different occasions, and we see it in our society today as well. Here, Bartimaeus, he had his spot on the road as well. He found a spot where he thought it was a really good spot for him to encounter a heavy number of traffickers or whatever the case may be, to where they were going to be able to see him. And he's begging here. He's asking for something here that's maybe going to make his life just a little bit better. Now, he was a blind man. And Scripture doesn't tell us how he was blind, but I think it's implied in this miracle that at one point in his life, he wasn't blind. He became blind. And there's another thing in your bulletin this morning that talks about, from Vincent Ward Studies, about how diseases of the eyes are very common in the East due to the sand and some different things there. You can read that at your convenience. But he was a blind man, and in his best of his ability, he chose a spot where he thought he was going to be able to see people and have encounters with people who may be able to give him something. Being blind, of course, he could not see this big multitude coming and who all was in this multitude. But Jesus of Nazareth was in this multitude. And he heard this commotion. He heard this sound. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 36, he asked, what's going on? Who is this? What is the manner of this commotion, of this noise that I'm hearing? So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, to hear that phrase in the first century, to hear that phrase today, garners many different responses. But especially in the first century when Jesus was actually walking by and he was walking this earth, to hear that Jesus of Nazareth is coming to town or that he is leaving town or he's going to be here or he's going to be there, it really garnered all kinds of different emotions within people. Some people had feelings of curiosity. They had heard about the things that this man from Nazareth was doing. Maybe he was a prophet. Maybe he was a deceiver. Maybe he was, whatever the case may be, maybe he had some political agenda. For some, it produced anger. The Pharisees were very angry with Jesus many times, and they would have their debates with him and try to derail the mission that he was on. And for others, excitement. If you've been lame your whole life, or you've been blind or deaf, or you have a demon-possessed family member, or you have something going on in your life that no one else has been able to do anything for you, and you hear this man, Jesus of Nazareth, he is in town, and he's been doing this, he did these things over in this town, and now he's coming to our town, then we're excited, we're going to go see him, and we're going to bring all of our sick, all of our lame, we're going to bring them to him, and he's going to do something about that for us. And for some, hope. Accompanied with that excitement. Finally, there is hope that someone is going to be able to do something for my condition that no other doctor or anyone else has been able to do. When blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, it certainly produced excitement within him. And it provided him with something that he didn't have before, and that was hope. It provided him with hope. And this hope is seen in the way that he responded. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by, and he was in this entourage, in this big commotion, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He was excited, and to cry out here means to croak as a raven or to scream, to call aloud, to exclaim. So this is a very passionate response. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This blind man, Bartimaeus, he picked the perfect spot for the day. This probably isn't the first time that he has been begging for something, but he's picked the perfect spot for the day, and now he just happens to have Jesus of Nazareth walking by. And this response, this passionate response that he has, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," comes from a man who recognized that he had a desperate, desperate need. And he knew that the man passing by had the ability to meet that need. I want you to put yourself in his shoes as best you can. I wonder sometimes, spiritually speaking, if our excitement for Jesus isn't what it should be due to the fact that we really don't appreciate the hopelessness of our state apart from Jesus. Because here was a man who had a hopeless condition. He was blind. And he believed that Jesus of Nazareth could meet the need that he had. And he was excited to have Jesus in his presence. How excited are we to have Jesus in our presence this morning? Because he's here, isn't he? He's here this morning. How excited are we? And if we aren't excited, could it be that we really don't appreciate the hopelessness of our state apart from him? Or we forget, or perhaps we never really have understood the situation we are in apart from Jesus. That it is so bad that it's impossible for us to deal with it in any other way other than through Jesus. Bartimaeus understood that his situation was hopeless. Apart from Jesus, he understood that the situation that he was in, no one else had been able to help him. His situation was so bad that it was impossible for him to deal with it in any other way. He was doing all that he knew to do. He was just sitting by the road begging. He wasn't begging for someone to give him his sight back. He was probably wanting a meal. He was probably wanting some monetary value of some sort so he could go buy something to eat or get something that was going to make his life a little bit easier. But Jesus of Nazareth walked by, and all of a sudden he realizes there is more here for me than what I thought I was going to get today. There's a greater opportunity for me here today because Jesus of Nazareth gave him hope. And why did Jesus of Nazareth give him hope? It wasn't that he just believed that Jesus was some miracle worker. He believed something more significant about Jesus, and we know that by the response that he gives as he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is walking by. He believes that this man from Nazareth is the long-awaited Messiah, and we know that because he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This tells us that Bartimaeus had some knowledge of the Scriptures. You're not just a blind man that just all of a sudden cries out, "Son of David, Jesus, Son of David." There was something significant. There was something messianic about this statement, "Son of David." These were words, when attached to the name of Jesus, meant something very, very profound and very significant. Jesus is called Son of David 14 times in the New Testament. And the reason he's called the Son of David that many times in the New Testament is because the prophets spoke of this Son of David who was going to sit on David's throne. Psalm 132 verse 11 is one instance of that. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7 talks about it. Jeremiah 23, 5. And in Luke 1, 31 through 33, when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, she tells him this very same thing. So when Bartimaeus cried out, "Son of David," this is who he had in mind. This one the prophets had been speaking of, this long-awaited Messiah and Redeemer. And though blind, Bartimaeus saw something. He saw something, even though he could not physically see, he saw something when Jesus of Nazareth came by. And Jesus was going to have this conversation with him. But Bartimaeus had a roadblock here. He's already blind. He's down on the ground in his spot. And he's begging others, which could be very humiliating for him. And he's making his appeal to the one he believes can help him. And he's essentially told, "Don't bother Jesus with your problems." The Good News Bible translation renders it this way: many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet. I want you to think about that, because I think we're guilty of this sometimes. Here's this blind man over here, and he's begging. Here's this loser over here, and he's just being quiet. And here's Jesus, and we can't hear Jesus for this guy over here screaming out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Because we are all up walking in our Sunday best, and we're here with Jesus, and we all feel good about ourselves. And here's this beggar, this loser blind man over here, and he's screaming and he's bothering Jesus. When I thought about that, I thought about Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. When the children were brought to Jesus, his disciples rebuked them. You remember that? They rebuked them for bringing the children to Jesus. Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7 said of Jesus, "If he were a prophet, he'd not let this sinner woman touch him." She's a sinner. If he were really a prophet, Jesus wouldn't let her be touching him. The Pharisee said, "He's a glutton and he's a wine bibber. He eats and drinks with sinners." And the common denominator in all this is, of this mentality, is there were those who identified others who had deficiencies in their lives and deficits in their lives as individuals who, whether spiritual or physical, as individuals who would be a distraction to Jesus and the mission that he was on. In other words, if you had a problem, you didn't need to bring it to Jesus because you were only going to slow him down and distract him from his mission. And that's kind of the mentality that people have sometimes. That if you have a problem and you're this rank sinner and you've done all these horrible things in your life, or you even have these physical deficits in your life, that you have somehow some bother to everyone else and you're some bother to Jesus, and don't bring these people around Jesus. Jesus is walking through Jericho and he's got this big entourage and he's the king and he's going to lead us to victory over the Romans, and we don't need to be bothering Jesus. This blind man, he needs to be quiet. He don't need to bother Jesus with his problem. But if the mission of Jesus wasn't to help those in need, what exactly was the mission of Jesus? Why does he eat with sinners, they would ask. Jesus said, "I came to seek and save that which was lost." That is certainly the greatest issue and the greatest need that you and I have, which is a need that we all have. And there are those who realize it, and there are those who don't, but it's our greatest need. But Jesus also showed a great concern for those with physical needs during his day. He healed the sick. He cared for those who were struggling in life with whatever the situation may have been. And there's a phrase that's been said a million different ways, and you've heard it as well, and it essentially says this: the church is not, and this is my version of it, the church is not a club where all of us good people come together to remind ourselves of how much better we are than all the sinners of the world. That's not the church. That's not who we need to be. We're not here this morning to come and remind ourselves of how much better we are than everybody outside these four walls this morning. That's not our purpose. That's not what God wants from us. I want to ask you some questions this morning. I ask myself these questions. What is our attitude toward the homeless? What is our attitude toward the beggar beside the road? What is our mindset toward the man who is struggling with sin and is desperately seeking help? I'm afraid too many times we say the homeless guy is just lazy. He's homeless because he's lazy. The beggar beside the road, he's just trying to get drug money. That's all that he's interested in. Or the man struggling with sin, he doesn't really want the help. If he did, he would just stop. Is that how it worked for you and me? We struggle with sin, we just stop. We need to just shut those lazy, drug-addicted, unmotivated sinners down, because they would just be a distraction to the work that we're trying to do for Jesus. In fact, let's put up a sign saying, "No lazy, drug-addicted, unmotivated sinners allowed." And we can kind of chuckle at that because we realize how ridiculous that is. And we would never say that. But I think our actions sometimes say that. I think my actions sometimes says that. The only problem with that is James writes this, that pure and undefiled religion is this: to visit the fatherless, the widows, their afflictions, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. And Jesus said in Matthew 25, to those who ignored the hungry, the naked, those in prison, those in need, he said to those individuals who ignored those individuals, that depart from me, workers of iniquity. These individuals are going to go away into eternal punishment because you didn't have any compassion. We find Jesus himself saying in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. There were those who thought themselves to be righteous traveling along in that entourage of Jesus that day, who told this blind man to be quiet. They admonished him. The New King James says they warned him. As in, if you don't shut up, we're going to shut you up. Bartimaeus, however, cried out even louder. He was determined. He knew he had a need, and he knew the man that could meet his need was walking by. And he was determined, and he shouted even louder. Scripture says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He was not going to be denied. And I can just see some of these self-righteous good people saying, "We warned you to shut," and right in the middle of that, they stop, because they are stopped directly in their tracks because they look and they see Jesus standing still. So they're about to rebuke the man again because he's crying out even louder. And they're in mid-sentence and they stop because they look and they see Jesus is standing still. Here is this man crying out for mercy. Jesus doesn't keep walking. Jesus doesn't keep walking on. He doesn't tell the man to shut up. He doesn't regard the man as a bother or as a distraction. But he stops and he stands still and he commands the man to be brought to him. Now the same group who was warning this man to shut up has a different response now. They have a different response now, and now they're encouraging this man. They're saying, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." So the mindset and the thought process has changed here. There are a couple of things that we see here in regards to the reverence, though, and the humility of Bartimaeus. He is calling out to Jesus, Son of David. However, he is on the ground and he feels himself unworthy. Notice that. He's not approached Jesus yet. And we know that he's on the ground because he's told to rise. He's told to rise. And that simply means that he needs to stand up. He's crying out, "Have mercy," or "Have compassion on me." Was this something he deserved? Did he deserve to have his sight restored? He didn't deserve it any more than anyone else. And there's nothing here that indicates that Bartimaeus thought himself deserving of Jesus' time or blessing, but he understood his need. So he is told to rise up, to stand up, and he's told to be of good cheer, which means to have courage. Let's don't lose that. He's on the ground. He's calling out to Jesus, but he's not approached Jesus yet. He's told to rise up and to have courage. So we see the humility in this man and his reverence that he has to even approaching Jesus. The point being here for us, when we come to Jesus, this is how we must come. I'm not going to come to Jesus as a good person. You know why? Because I'm not a good person. And I don't mean to insult you this morning, but neither are you. None of us are. The Bible tells us we're not. So if I'm going to come to Jesus because I think I'm good and I think He could use me and I could be of some benefit to Him, then I'm not where I need to be. If we aren't careful sometimes, we begin to think that we are pretty good people. And the Lord kind of owes us as if we should not have to go through trials and heartaches. And if we're going through some trial, whether it be emotional or physical or spiritual, that the Lord should just take that away from us because we deserve to have our trial taken away. Why do I deserve to have my trial taken away? What makes me more special than you? Why should I not have to go through what I'm going through? Now, the point is this morning is the quicker that I realize that I'm not deserving of anything, and am willing to fall at the feet of Jesus begging for mercy and compassion. When I get to that point, then my relationship with Jesus can begin to meet its full potential. Bartimaeus is on his knees begging for mercy. He's begging for mercy from Jesus, and he's told to be courageous and to come to Jesus, for He is calling you. Aren't those beautiful words? He is calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his garment, arose, and came to Jesus. He is calling me, Bartimaeus would say, and they would say, yes, He's calling you. Do you ever feel like Jesus knows who we are? He knows our situation. Do you ever feel like you're lost in the shuffle and God kind of puts you in the back of the file cabinet and He don't really know what's going on in your life? This is how Jesus responds to those who call on Him. He stops. He listens. He asks questions. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And I thought about this example of Jesus and for me. If sometimes we would stop and listen, how much more effective servant might we be in the kingdom? How much more Christ-like might I be if I too would stop, stand still, and just listen for a moment? Jesus asked, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Bartimaeus, with fondness and love for the one to whom he was addressing, said, Master, teacher, I want to see again, restore my sight. Now the irony here is, Bartimaeus had already seen something that the majority of that entourage that was walking with Jesus had yet to see. He had already seen something. He had already been able to identify something that large group could not. Though blind, when Jesus of Nazareth passed by his way, he saw his Messiah. He saw his Redeemer. He saw his King. He saw the Son of David. He saw his Master. He saw his Teacher. He saw him, and there were others who were walking along right beside Jesus with perfect sight who could not see who this man was. He had already seen Jesus in the most important way anyone could ever see Jesus, and that is as Savior. This morning, just as Bartimaeus, none of us can literally see Jesus with our physical eyes, can we? Literally seeing his resurrected body, seeing him as he walked on earth, we don't see him with our literal physical eyes. But just as Bartimaeus saw Jesus, we can too. We can see him in the same way that Bartimaeus saw him when Bartimaeus was blind, because this is who we are. We can see him by faith as Messiah. We can see him by faith as Jesus, Son of David. We can see him by faith as our Savior, as our Lord, as our crucified Redeemer. You know what else we can do? We can call out for the same mercy that Bartimaeus called out for in regards to our sin. And just as he responded to Bartimaeus, when you're calling out to Jesus, he's not indifferent about that. He's not indifferent. He's going to do the same thing. He is going to stop. He's going to stand still, and he's going to listen to our cries for mercy and compassion. And if we will come to him in humility, if we will come to him in faith, he's going to respond to us in the same way that he did Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 52, then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And Luke writes that he followed glorifying God. This morning, your faith can make you well, just as Bartimaeus' faith made him well. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins, this morning I would say to you the same thing that those individuals who had previously discouraged Bartimaeus said, to rise, be of good cheer. He is calling you. Jesus is calling you this morning. Now, if you have for a long time wondered whether or not you want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've not had the courage, you've just wondered if you're good enough, and you just wondered how it's going to work out, this morning realize you're not good enough, and none of us are either. So realize this morning that Jesus is calling you. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way into the Father. And this morning, Jesus is calling you, and you can be of good cheer. You can have courage. You can rise, and you can come to him this morning. This is what Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Why tarriest thou? Why do you wait? Why are you lingering? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That is our appeal to you this morning. Why don't you have the faith that Bartimaeus had and come to your Lord this morning as Jesus is calling you?